And tonight we're looking at Article 18 on the family. I thought it was interesting. I don't think I've mentioned this, but these memory verses come from this Baptist Faith and Message study guide written by Charles Kelly, Richard Land, Al Mohler. I thought it was interesting that they picked for this one on the family, Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God also forgave you in Christ. If there's any verse that's needed in family, in relationships in general, it's certainly that verse. There's much need for us to be kind and compassionate to one another and to forgive one another just as God has forgiven us in Christ. I want to read the statement, Baptist Faith and Message article, on the family, and then we will look at it together. I'll share a little bit about it. God has ordained the family as a foundational institution of human society. It is composed of persons related to one another by marriage, blood, or adoption. Marriage is the uniting of one man and one woman in covenant commitment for a lifetime. It is God's unique gift to reveal the union between Christ and His church and to provide for the man and the woman in marriage the framework for intimate companionship, the channel of sexual expression according to biblical standards, and the means for procreation of the human race. The husband and wife are of equal worth before God since both are created in God's image. The marriage relationship models the way God relates to His people. A husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He has the God-given responsibility to provide for, to protect, and to lead his family. A wife is to submit herself graciously to the servant leadership of her husband, even as the church willingly submits to the headship of Christ. She, being in the image of God, as is her husband and thus equal to him, has the God-given responsibility to respect her husband and to serve as his helper in managing the household and nurturing the next generation. Children, from the moment of conception, are a blessing and heritage from the Lord. Parents are to demonstrate to their children God's pattern for marriage. Parents are to teach their children spiritual and moral values and to lead them through consistent lifestyle example and loving discipline to make choices based on biblical truth. Children are to honor and obey their parents. The family is foundational. The Baptist Faith and Message article on the family was added by the Southern Baptist Convention in 1998. Up until very recent times, confessions of faith, for the most part, did not see the need for a statement about the family, since Christians down through the centuries were united in a common understanding of God's plan for marriage, children, and the family. However, the view of family that was taken for granted for centuries has been challenged in our day. The family is and has been under attack. I think as never before, it's under attack. Even the understanding of what constitutes a family has been challenged and changed. You know, anything and everything in grouping of individuals, people want to consider a family. Books entitled, Heather Has Two Mommies, you know, and those kinds of things. Present an alternative, an aberrant view of family. But that's become common. If you don't buy into that, if you don't accept that today, you're weird. You're out of touch with what's going on, with reality. And so churches and denominations, the Southern Baptist Convention, deemed it necessary to put in our Confession of Faith a statement about the family. Marriage also has been under attack. Marriage, instituted before the fall, was a central part of God's design for mankind from the beginning. Genesis 2:23 and 24. I didn't notice if all the verses got picked up, but does somebody, you have that, Tom?
The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh."
All right. I didn't, don't know what I was going to say. But anyway, when I do a wedding, one of the things that I say, one of the first things I say is that marriage is God's idea. Okay? Marriage is a good thing, and it was God's idea from the beginning. He performed the first wedding ceremony. You know, we don't know what it was like, but we do know that God brought the woman to the man and gave her to him as a gift. Marriage was instituted by God. According to the Baptist Faith and Message, the family is composed of persons related to one another by marriage, blood, or adoption. All people, married or unmarried, are thus related to family through various ties of blood, kinship, and adoption. You don't get into this world except as part of a family. It may be a dysfunctional family, but it is a family. You have a mother, you have a father. Otherwise, you can't get in, right? There is no conception apart from that. So, whatever, you know, you may not have a dad in the home. Some situations there may not be a mother in the home, but you still are part of a family. It may not be an ideal family. We are all husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, as well as part of a larger extended family. You are at least one of these, if not more. Many of us are both husbands and fathers and sons, right? And many of us are wives and mothers and daughters, okay? You may not be several of those, but you are at least one of them because of relationships, and thus family is really a given. And it is foundational. It is the foundational institution. It was the first institution that God created. However, as the biblical and traditional conception of marriage has come under attack in recent years, it's also necessary to define what marriage is. That's the last sentence under that first heading, second paragraph. As the biblical and traditional conception of marriage has come under attack in recent years, it is also necessary to define what marriage is. For hundreds, if not thousands of years, all right, the biblical view of marriage and family was accepted, whether people were Christians or not. The biblical understanding of what makes a marriage, what a marriage is, and a family, was just kind of taken for granted. Just like for centuries, biblical standards were accepted as being right, whether people adhered to those standards or not. You know what I'm saying? For example, where do you get concepts such as it's wrong to steal, it's wrong to lie, it's wrong to murder? You get them from God's Word, the Ten Commandments. Now, there are other societies that have had similar conceptions, but certainly, at least in the Western world, our laws, our values, morals, came from the Bible. Even people who stole understood that they were not supposed to be stealing. Even people who lied understood that it was not right to lie. But all of that has kind of, in our day, gone by the wayside. Even the very idea that there are certain things that ought to be the way they are has been questioned. And that carries over into marriage. The Baptist Faith and Message says marriage is the uniting of one man and one woman in covenant commitment for a lifetime. Already, right there, we are today countering the culture. If you believe that, you are countercultural. Why? Because marriage can be pretty much anything you want. And it can be as many times as you want. Right? You don't even have to formalize it. You don't have to legalize it. In many states, common law marriages are recognized. And the common law spouses have rights, legal rights. Y'all understand what common law is. They live together. without being legally married. Over, if you do that for a certain period of time in some states, you have rights, whether or not you've ever, legalized it. Well, that laid the foundation, the groundwork for domestic rights. The rights of domestic partners is what they're called today, who may or may not be of different sexes. So that statement, marriage is the uniting of one man and one woman in covenant commitment for a lifetime, is in and of itself today controversial. And yet we see it is the way it is in Scripture. Matthew 19, 4 through 6, who has that? Anybody have that? Oh, I have that. Duh. Sorry. He, being Jesus, answered, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And we find Romans 7:2 addressing the permanence of marriage as well. Margaret? All right. So these biblical truths and this simple statement about marriage is the uniting of one man and one woman in covenant commitment for a lifetime. This statement about marriage forbids at least three things. Number one, homosexual unions. This is in your notes. It forbids homosexual unions. We're not being homophobic to say that. We're just being biblical. All right. It forbids polygamy. It is one man and one woman. And it also forbids divorce, except in a few carefully controlled exceptions that the Bible lays out. Now, the exceptions are for divorce, not homosexual unions or polygamy. All right? God honored marriage by establishing the metaphor of the bridegroom and the bride to express the relationship between Christ and His church. Christ's redeemed people are described as the bride, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. Revelation 19:7. Someone have that? Sue? All right. And that's just one place. We know that Paul, as we're going to touch on, has a whole dissertation, as it were, on marriage in Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. And again, he uses this imagery, this picture of the relationship between Christ and the church being something that is pictured in marriage. This metaphor helps us understand the intimacy, the purity, and order that are to characterize earthly marriages. The intimacy. Marriage between a man and a woman is the one place where God blesses physical intimacy. It helps us understand the intimacy, the purity. Are y'all lost in the notes? This is the last sentence, first paragraph under one man and one woman. The blanks are, this metaphor helps us understand the intimacy, purity, and order that are to characterize earthly marriages. So, not only do we see the intimacy, but the purity of the relationship. But not only that, the order. In other words, there are roles and responsibilities in marriage that God has given. Even that is challenged today. Very much so. We're going to get to that in a minute. The Bible establishes marriage as the only proper arena for and channel of sexual expression. Thus, God's wonderful gift of sex is invested in marriage and the one flesh relationship that is established between a husband and wife. The shared gift of intimacy, which is a blessing to a husband and a wife within the marital covenant, can only lead to destruction and heartbreak outside marriage. And that's true of everything that God designs and declares good. It's a blessing when it's done within God's will, according to His direction. God is not against sex. He created it within appropriate relationship. One man, one woman in marriage. That's where God has ordained it. It's where He approves of it. It's where He blesses it. It's where He wants people to enjoy it. But outside of that, it is indeed, as the writer of the Hebrews described what Moses spurned, it is the pleasure of sin for a season. It is a momentary pleasure, but it results in death. It results in destruction and heartbreak outside of God's design. And ultimately, God will judge all defiling of the purity of the gift of sex as He intended it within marriage. Hebrews 13:4. Dan?
Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adultery and all the sexually immoral.
Okay. And again, in all of this, what we're dealing with is God's design and God's right to set out directions, instructions, if you will, for those whom He has created in His image. God knows how we best reflect Him in His image. And so He has given us instructions, directions about how to do that in relationships. And when we violate His word and His will, we're saying, we know better. It's back to that, you know, I want to be God. That was the temptation, right? To Eve in the garden. God knows in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. Sounds good to me. I want to be like God. I want to determine what is right and what is wrong. I don't need anybody, any prude telling me what to do, how to live, when to express myself, where and how. That's essentially what we're saying, and it is a rejection of God, of His design, and His sovereignty over His universe. Well, that also goes to the roles and relationships in marriage, which is where what we deal with under equal and complementary. The Baptist Faith and Message affirms that both husband and wife are of equal worth before God, and explains that both the man and the woman are created in God's image. The Apostle Paul affirmed that in our salvation through Christ, all are equal. Galatians 3:28. Who has that?
There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Unfortunately, that verse has been abused by many who want to extinguish any differences between men and women other than the obvious physical differences. They want to say, see, we're equal, and so then everything that's open to a man is open to a woman, and vice versa. But that is not what that verse is talking about in salvation, that we all come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ equally. However, equal before God does not mean that there are no differences in roles and responsibilities. In Ephesians 5:22-33, which I referenced earlier, the Apostle Paul teaches that there are clear responsibilities given to men and women in marriage. The husband, Paul writes, is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Thus, the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I wanted you to fill in those blanks so we husbands could get that. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. Thus, the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I think one of the biggest issues that people have who reject the idea of male headship is that what they've seen modeled as male headship is tyranny. It's not what the Bible describes. It is not a man, a husband, giving himself up for his wife as Christ does the church. Likewise, the wives are to submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. Several years ago, I did a wedding. And again, part of my wedding ceremony is dealing with this passage. I thought the bride was going to have a nervous breakdown over the fact that I was going to talk about the submission of a wife to a husband. You know, I'm serious. I mean, she just could not handle that idea. Most of you are married, not all of you. If the time comes that, you know, you're going to get married and you want a wedding ceremony and you're the least bit interested in me doing that ceremony, you need to understand that this is part of the ceremony. And I don't have to do your wedding, all right? But if I do, this is going to be in it. The roles and responsibilities, biblically, of a husband and a wife. Because that's what the Bible says. Now, but in many, many cases, even in the church, these biblical ideas, these biblical concepts have been rejected because we've been conformed by the world. All right. These roles and responsibilities are the expression of God's design and plan for the marriage relationship. They are not an expression of inequality. Inequality. Just as in the Godhead, there is equality among the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, but there are differences in roles and in functions. For example, there is the voluntary submission of the Son to the Father in the accomplishment of the plan of redemption. There is voluntary submission of the Son to the Father in the accomplishment of the plan of redemption. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are equal from all eternity. But the Son, not just in this area, but in this area, we see clearly Christ voluntarily submitted to the will of his Father. And that's what we see in John 6:38 and Hebrews 10:5-7. Who has John 6:38? Okay. All right. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Same thing in Hebrews 10:5-7. Anybody? I'm sorry. I have come to do your will. Again and again, Jesus said he came to do the Father's will. They were and are equal. Husband and wife are equal. That doesn't mean that one does not submit to the other. It doesn't mean that they have the same roles or the same responsibilities. All right. So that's what the Bible teaches about marriage, about God's design, about the sanctity of marriage, about God's plan for marriage. But what about children? The blessing of children. Society's view of children is another area where there has been a recent deviation from biblical truth. In the Bible, barrenness, that is the inability for a woman to conceive a child, was considered a curse. You see the examples of Sarah and Abraham. Sarah couldn't conceive. And Hannah, who both the Lord opened their wombs, they were able. Sarah had Isaac. Hannah had Samuel. But before that time, I mean, they were just beside themselves because they couldn't. And they were viewed as being, in a sense, cursed because they were barren. Children were a blessing to be desired, according to Psalm 127, 3 through 5. So children were viewed as a blessing biblically, and for much of history there were. The Baptist faith and message reflects this view in its statement, children from the moment of conception are a blessing and heritage from the Lord. Now that phrase, I didn't address it, but from the moment of conception deals with what? Abortion. Children from the moment of conception are a blessing and heritage from the Lord. Even when people do things that are outside of God's will, God is still sovereign over life, the creation of life. All right? And it's His prerogative to take life, not ours, except in those cases where He gives the government the right to do so. So children from the moment of conception are a blessing and heritage from the Lord. This is a far cry from the common view of children as a nuisance or a burden, along with the attitude that many children equals many sorrows. Christians today must resist the shaping influence of a world that makes parenthood a burden rather than a blessing. Now, if you're a parent, you know that it doesn't always feel like a blessing, right? It's a challenge, and there have been many children who have broken the hearts of their parents. But the Bible presents children as a blessing and being a parent as a blessing. But being a parent does involve sober and serious responsibilities. The Baptist Faith and Message states that parents are to demonstrate to their children God's pattern for marriage. Parents are to teach their children spiritual and moral values and to lead them through consistent lifestyle example and loving discipline to make choices based on biblical truth. Now, whose job is that? Is that the schools? The churches? Parents' responsibilities. To demonstrate to their children God's pattern for marriage. They are to teach their children spiritual moral values and to lead them through consistent lifestyle example and loving discipline to make choices based on biblical truth. This requires a commitment to biblical truth above cultural norms. In other words, we don't care what the world says is right. We care what Scripture says. We don't care how the families on the sitcoms live, all right? That's not our standard. It's the Word of God. It means that fathers and mothers must know the Scriptures and make them the standard for attitudes and actions. Whose attitudes and actions? Their own and their children's. All right? The Scriptures are the standards for attitudes and actions. We must have biblical attitudes as well as biblical actions. We must also work for, pray for biblical attitudes as well as biblical actions on the part of our children. The goal is not children who conform outwardly but inward are rebels. Okay. Now I'm going to address that a little bit more in just a few minutes. But anyway, the scriptures should be the standard for attitudes and actions. Parents must be intentional and prayerful in cultivating loving relationships with their children and in teaching them in word and in deed the word of God. As children age and have more and more relationships outside of the family, more and more others have a tendency to exert influence over your children, especially their peers. That's why you can't just assume that because you take your kids to church or you say one thing at home that they're automatically going to do the right thing. There comes a point in time when if you're not intentional and prayerful in cultivating and keeping these close relationships with your children, you are moved from being the primary influence in their lives. Even to the point where you have very little influence other than the power of saying, you're going to live here, you're going to do this. You know, that's not what you want. So, you must be intentional and prayerful. Not only that, Christian parents must live the gospel, teach the gospel, and pray the gospel for the conversion and growth of their children. The church is called to equip and assist parents in this responsibility, but the primary job belongs to mom and dad. Baptist Faith and Message also says children are to honor and obey their parents because that's what the Bible says. The Bible teaches that each individual is personally responsible to God. This includes children. You notice that the Bible speaks to children. Honor your father and mother. Obey your parents in the Lord. Children can be taught the Word of God. God addresses them in His Word. Children are responsible to God. When they are very young, children will generally be as obedient as their parents teach and especially discipline them to be. That may be somewhat of a controversial statement to some, but I stand behind it. Generally, when they are very young, children will generally be as obedient as their parents teach and especially discipline them to be. Generally, when you are in a place and you see children behaving as brats, it's the parents who need to be disciplined. All right? Because they haven't done their job. I'm sorry. I know that's just from observation and personal experience. All right? And I believe scripture. Generally, when they are very young, okay? Because they're very moldable. All right? Are there exceptions? Yes. That's why I said generally. God has given parents means by which they can cultivate obedience and respect, and consistency is key. However, having said that, ultimately, children are also fallen creatures who resist authority and want to be like God. Only the Holy Spirit can change hearts and grant new birth through the gospel. God will hold children accountable for their obedience or disobedience to His word, for their acceptance or rejection of the salvation freely offered in Christ. You know, there comes a point in time when, and we're not told in Scripture when that is, but children are accountable to God for their responses, for the rejection of the gospel or their acceptance of the gospel in Christ. All right, here's a summary statement, a final word. This I took, it's a different font, you can see, because I just want to make sure you saw it. It's a quote, a passage directly out of the study book, this one. We live in a time when the definition of family is a matter of political and social controversy, and when the culture is confused about the definition of marriage. Christians bear the unique responsibility to tell the truth, to live the truth, and to bear witness to God's loving intention in establishing marriage and the family for our good. God gave us marriage and family for our happiness and our health, but He also created them as structures of accountability so that we can live holy lives, demonstrating His character, love, and wisdom as we fulfill all the responsibilities and roles assigned to marriage and the family. It's a matter of displaying God's will, displaying God's glory for us. All right, and thus concludes our look at the Baptist faith and message.